Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here today for another of our recollection series, taking a break from expectations here for a day. We're going to talk today about Kim Herring, the former strong safety for the Ravens, drafted 58th overall by the Ravens in 1997 in the second round. And yet, the lowest round pick who played on the 2000 Ravens secondary. Joining me to talk about this is Kiske. Kiske, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
No complaints. Appreciate you picking a player like Kim Herring. It's exactly the sort of unheralded player. What attracted you to talking about Kim Herring?
So I used to play a lot of Madden, but I also just watch a lot of football in general. And I have a couple of friends that like coach like high school football or whatever. They tried to get me to coach with them. I'm like, I there's no possible way I can explain what's going on in my brain to a like person trying to like, I'm computing a lot of things at the same time. And I don't know if others are really capable of doing all of that at the same time. So I'll just sit over here, watch you coach. If you want my ideas, I'll give you my ideas. But I'm tracking like the sun while I'm shadowing this receiver, because wherever the shadow goes is where the ball in there is going to be for the most part. And you can't go anywhere without your waist. So I don't care which way you juke. I'm just going to follow your waist. Things like that. But Kim Herring in particular, I took a liking to him. I took a liking to everybody on the Super Bowl defense, actually, like all 11 starters. But when Kim Herring left the team and Corey Harris came in, I was like, oh, there's a distinct difference between the two. And I don't know if everybody really notices it. As we were saying in the pre-show.
Production meeting, yep.
Production meeting, Kim Herring has more range. And then when I went into like looking at his stats and his career, I was like, oh, he's really a free safety that we just put in at strong safety because Rock Woodson took the free safety position. Mm-hmm. That explains why he has more range. And he's quicker to the ball. It just makes the passes harder to complete. And while Corey Harris was just going to tackle you as soon as you got the ball, but you were going to get the ball.
Very similar defenses in one significant way. And that is when they played cover two, the other teams did not have a big answer to the 23 Ravens. Not all the Ravens defenses have been built that way in terms of being great cover two teams. Some in the Reed years were great single high teams. That just depended on the safety blanket of Ed Reed and his great range to go a long distance. Kim Herring was a good Spitfield safety. And yet for all he could do in terms of getting to the football and being a really good downhill run fitter as well, he did not have a lot of ball production in his career. In fact, he didn't have his first interception until that 2000 season against Jacksonville. So it didn't come until his fourth year.
Yeah. Yeah. But he did spend a lot of his, I think, first two seasons, he wasn't a starter. He did get game time, but he wasn't a starter. He was listed as a DB. I think he was mostly a special teams player. And, two seasons. And yep. then he started starting, what was it? 99 was his first year starting.
Might have been 98 at midseason or so, but it's effective. It was 99 when he first got the full season job.
Yes, that's, I believe, exactly what it was. So, you know, between that and he's a safety. So for the most part, I don't think you're really throwing at him. So
now, I don't think there are a lot of people who would answer this question correctly if you asked them today, but Kim Herring actually is the guy who had the highest percentage of the regular season snaps for the Ravens defenders on the 2000 team. So even Ray Lewis was pulled a few times in blowouts. Rod Woodson did not play every single moment. Both the cornerbacks missed a little bit of time here and there. The entire defensive line is rotational in nature, so nobody could play that. Sharper and was taken out rotationally at times. So Boulware, no, he missed some time. wasn't really close to a full season of play. So the only guy was Kim Herring, who was there pretty much all the time. Lewis was second on the team in terms of percentage of snaps played. So did it surprise you at all that Herring was the one guy who was not returned in 01?
No, because I think Corey Harris was just a cheaper option, and it wasn't that far of a drop off of actual play, at least not at the strong safety position. And since they had Rod Woodson in at free safety, you could just literally save some money by having Corey Harris there. Even though I do think there is a drop off, I just don't think it's a significant drop off enough to spend that extra money.
Yeah, I would basically agree with that. I mean, we did talk about this as well a little bit, but Harris was 32 years old in 2001, or turned 32 at some point in 2001. And so it wasn't a young player by any stretch, but he was in the last year of a 4-year deal that was signed extremely cheaply. He acquired very cheap, 4 years for $2 million or something, which at the time was not much money. And it was a deal where he was brought in a lot to play special teams, but more than that, to play the dime back role for the Ravens, who had really embraced that in their early years under Marvin Lewis. And in 2000, he had one of the great years ever by a Ravens dimeback. It really wasn't eclipsed until 2018 when Anthony Levine had the huge year. And then again in 2019 when Clark had the huge year as a dimeback. But that 2000 Ravens team played 34.5% of their snaps with either 6 or 7 defensive backs on the field. All of those would have included Harris when they had 6 or 7 on. So he was very important. Lots of highlights from that year. I'm sure we'll get into that, but he also got a chance when Herring got hurt in the postseason to play some. That was an unfortunate thing for Kim Herring to miss time at that point.
Yeah, he got he didn't play the Oakland game.
Yeah, didn't play Oakland. He got hurt against Tennessee, and he was actually off the field for both of the big plays. So the touchdown and the block field goal.
Yeah, I think injuries is ultimately what finished his career. At least according to the source that I was reading, he missed 2 entire seasons to injury, and the second one that he missed to injury just basically was when he retired.
Or 03 and 05, maybe that would have been then. I see he didn't play in 03.
Yeah, he had he got injured, I believe, once with the Rams, and then they didn't bring him back, or they cut him. And then he got injured again with the Bengals.
Mm-hmm. The Rams moved him back to free safety, it looks like. I don't have actual snaps by position at all, but that's his listed position on the Pro Football Reference. And then with the Bengals, doesn't surprise me that they brought him back when Marvin Lewis became head coach there.
Yeah, the Rams moved him back to free safety, and I think the Bengals actually moved him back to strong safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, he came back in into Super Bowl 35. I don't want to spoil it because that's where he had some of his really great moments of 2000. Do you want to talk about some of the individual plays or anything else about his style of play that you want to talk about?
What I liked about Kim Herring the most was it was just more difficult to throw into like his range. So he didn't have to necessarily be shadowing the receiver. If it was just in a range that he could get to, it made the throw more difficult, which I was like, I would prefer that over what Corey Harris would provide. Mm-hmm. I would prefer just, you know, the threat, the minus whatever he might've actually been doing at the time. I was like, I prefer the threat. I prefer the possible pass deflection or interception as opposed to the shorthanded tackle as soon as the guy gets the ball. I'd rather the guy not get the ball. So I prefer Corey Harris. Kim Herring and his style of play than the limitations of a Corey Harris. Maybe it was age. Maybe it was just Kim Herring was faster and more rangy mm-hmm. in the first place. But I definitely preferred Kim Herring to Corey Harris in that respect. Kim Herring was also good at tackling. I'm not going to take that away from him. I just thought he was more rangy and made it more difficult to get those passes off.
Right. And by the way, we would expect that. I mean, Corey Harris was a guy who was available in free agency for a cheap vet, less probably was vet min at the time, but not much more than vet min because it was a 4-year deal. And, you know, Kim Herring had been a second round draft pick just the year before when they acquired the two players, 97 and 98 respectively. So I guess it's not really surprising what they did. I liked Kim Herring's second man to the ball skills very well. I thought he was very special in that regard. He had 3 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries in his career. And they talked about the 11 billiard balls in 2000, was what Ray Lewis had talked about their defense being. He was very much one of those guys who would get their second, try and jar the ball loose or pick it up if somebody else had. And it's a good complementary skill, much like the Ravens pass rush this last season. You get value from a lot of people thinking similarly in terms of how they approach a ball carrier who's got one man on it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've never forgot. Marvin Lewis said this. I don't know if he said it during the Super Bowl year or if it was the year after, but I think it was during the Super Bowl year. He liked having interchangeable safeties. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I never hear defensive coordinators say that.
And I say it all the time now. It pisses me off. Yeah. But yeah. when I hear that today, usually to me, it means, that means you got to have 2 strong safeties. You don't have a free safety. Now, in the case of the Ravens, obviously in 2000, that really wasn't true. They had 2 guys who could play free safety. They had Corey Harris, who was a great dime back. They had versatile safeties who could move back and not just play downhill. But a lot of times when I hear that today, it means you don't have enough free safeties on this team. Kind of a problem for me still going into the 2024 season for the Ravens is a lack of a second free field, split field safety who will, you know, allow Hamilton to come up to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I listen to the show. This is the second time I've actually done one of these with you. I'm kind of surprised they didn't bring Worley back unless he has like some lingering injury. Cause I haven't really heard his name in any circles and I'm like, did he retire? Like what happened?
He better not have retired after how well he was playing last year. That would be a waste. You know, he'd moved to safety. It looked like he'd assimilated well. It's gotta be injury related, I would think. And maybe it's the case where the Ravens just, they know where he is injury wise and they're ready to sign him. They're not ready to put a red flag out for everybody else. And they can have one extra guy in camp until then.
Yeah. It might be something that's easy to fit in like that. Yeah.
So Herring's teams had a 6-1 combined record in the postseason. That included the 2001 Rams.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Their eventual Super Bowl loss, but they, you know, obviously 4-0 with the 2000 Ravens as well. So very impressive career in terms of being around winners, at least from that perspective.
I think, I mean, I don't have his stats up right now, but I did, you know, look at them before we did this. I think he for the seasons that he was on the field, he had a really good career. I think it was the injuries that ultimately did him in.
He played for good defenses, certainly in Baltimore, and then really again in St. Louis as well. Those defenses were fine. And he played in a four-year period from 99 to 2002. He started all but one game. So he wasn't really plagued with injuries, so to speak. It wasn't until after, well, I guess it would have been the preseason or camp in 2003 that his injury must have occurred that kept him out of some significant time.
I think it was in preseason from what I read. I think the Rams one was in preseason, and then the Cincinnati one was preseason.
Before preseason, you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about some individual highlights? What do you remember about his individual highlights career?
I know he had an interception in the Super Bowl. Was it off a pass deflection?
Yeah, so a couple of things happened in the Super Bowl. The first was he got his hands on the very first two passes of the game, and there was no PD credited, I believe, on either one, but I've watched that tape a million times. And the first thing I'm saying is Corey Harris is getting an interception today. You know, when the very first two passes of the game are both misfired, and he was the closest thing to an intended receiver on either play, it looked like. But then he the first drive of the second half, they ended the interception with that, and I don't remember if that was deflected. Maybe deflected. Sharper had a deflection off Lewis. I'm trying to think who was deflected to Herring, and I don't remember that.
That I don't know. I probably should have just kept the page up that I was referencing, but I closed it out before we started. Yes.
No problem. I've got a few other highlights. What else do you want to talk about?
I don't really remember like individual highlights. I really just tracked like his actual play and his influence on the offense. So okay. That's how I like look at every Ravens game, actually. Like throughout the years, I'll follow the actual play and be like, oh, this person affected this, or this person wasn't where they were expected to be, things like that. But I don't usually remember individual plays unless it was really jarring.
Okay. All right. Well, the one I remember that maybe got more talked about at the time is during that Jacksonville time when the Ravens game in week two, Ravens are making that furious comeback after a terrible first half where they trailed by as much as 23-7, maybe 23. think it's 23-7. Then they cut it to 23-15 in this, at the beginning of the second half. But anyway, he had an interception. It was the first interception of his career. And I think Dick Enberg was doing the game with Deardorff. And he as soon as he got the interception, he said, "That's the first interception of Kim Herring's career." And I thought, wow, you know, he's been around for 4 years. That's surprising that that happened. But it was one of the big plays in that win, in that comeback.
I'm just happy that he actually knew that.
Yeah, it's you know, this is a thing from broadcasting. How that will work is the announcer has a 10 by 10 sheet in front of them of information on every uniform number for each team. And you'll occasionally see them referring wrong to it. It's a big no-no to refer wrong, but they have a 10 by 10 grid. And on number 20, they had no career interceptions to date. Would have been his notation on that, but it's a little piece of inside broadcasting there. That's how that is generally done. It may be done. There may be different ways that people do it today, but Enberg, really old school guy, obviously from that era, he would have used the old 10 by 10 card from then to put his notes on players. And I think that's fairly common to have notes about various players that you're referring to, because it's got to be available immediately as soon as you identify the uniform number. And that's what you want it by. You don't want to look up the uniform number on some roster, find out who the player is, and go back to your notes on the player. So they have it in this grid format.
And to be able to rattle it off like it was your own knowledge and you weren't reading it is actually like really good too.
Yeah. If you prepare for a show of any type, including like this one, we do, you'll have certain bits of knowledge you prepared for the show. And so you end up rattling it off, but yeah, you're right. It's something that they have the production meetings of their own, that they talk to the coaches and a couple of players the day before the game. And they do have an opportunity to ask some questions of the coach. They usually don't get into minutiae like that. That came directly out of the media guide. I guarantee you, they didn't ask Brian Billick a question about, you know, why hasn't Kim Herring had an interception yet? That wasn't anywhere near the top of their list of things to talk about.
Yeah, it's just really cool. Kind of reminds me of like acting or outside of, you know, football stuff. I've actually been a recording artist for quite some time. And sometimes I don't know the bars. I have it written in front of me while I'm in a booth. And I'm literally reading off of it while we're recording. It sounds better when I know the bars.
Yep.
But only me and other lyricists, for the most part, can tell that I'm reading off of paper.
Huh.
It'll bother me listening to it later. I'll be like, ah, oh, that could have been so much smoother. But to the layman, it sounds about the same.
One of the tricks, I have a broadcasting degree originally from Syracuse, but one of the tricks they always told us was, if you're going to read copy cold, and that's going to happen, you're eventually going to get read, you're going to get past copy that you have to read cold on air from time to time. Try and stay half a line ahead of what you're reading. And occasionally what will happen is there'll be a phonetic word in there that has to be spelled out for you. And when you write a script for an anchor or whatever, you have that all down there, and phonetic pronunciations of difficult to pronounce places and people, you know, they get dropped in there, but you're supposed to stay a half line ahead. And then when you have your oh shit moment of how do I pronounce that thing, you've got the phonetic spelling after it that you can then rely on and just you know, sound out the word kind of thing. But good people, they read cold copy like it's live. Sorry, like they wrote it themselves. Yeah,
I have found when I'm reading it's because I wrote it, but I have found when I'm reading them that I will often change words that make it difficult for me to say. I'm like, oh no, we're gonna change that. I'll just do a automatic edit and continue on. And then I got to remember, if we got to run it through again, that I changed these words. It's not what's written down anymore, because it wasn't working for me to just spew it out and stay on beat.
All right, well, that's cool. I'd say some good insights into that. What else I want to say? He had a fumble recovery in the last game played at Memorial Stadium, that 21-19 win over the Oilers. He was a big part of the Ravens' four-game winning streak in 1999. We talked about that. The episode with Cadre, by the way, I'd really highly recommend folks go back to. It talks about the four-game winning streak in general, which included the Cadre Ishmael 3-touchdown, 258-yard game against the Steelers. During that streak, Herring was one of the key defenders with four. He had four PDs and one in each of those games. So that was a nice little run for him that kind of solidified, I think, what he was going to be for the Ravens at that point. And then the last game of the season in 2000, the 34-20 win over the Jets, four PDs in that game. That's exceptionally rare for any defender to get four PDs in a game. We saw Ray Lewis do it in the Super Bowl. We've seen it happen a few other times. And the Ravens' record is actually seven in a single game. But the number of times four has occurred is probably still less than 30 times, I'm going to say, in Ravens history. So it's unusual when it happens and really worth noting.
Yeah, it's a real demonstration of the range that he had to get his hands on the ball. Prevent that completion.
Well, Kiske, great having you on for this. What are there any other closing thoughts on Kim Herring? You never met the guy or anything? No,
never met him. The only Ravens defender I met from that Super Bowl was actually Tony Siragusa.
Okay.
And he came into I used to work at a knife and sword shop called Chesapeake Knife and Tool. It was located in the Towson Mall. And he came in and he literally wanted the cheapest deer skinning knife that we had. And I was like, it's going to fall apart, though. And he was like, no, don't try to sell me. And I'm like, I'm trying to save you because this isn't a good knife. Like, you really actually want this other knife. I know it's a little more expensive, but it's actually just better quality. And he's like, no, give me the cheapest one. I'm like, all right, give me the cheapest one.
Yeah, it's good that he's a value hunter. It's good that all players are a little bit of value hunters. I'd like to see it, but
I met him.
Tony definitely splashed some cash around at bars actually, and whatnot.
Actually, no, I also met Chris McAllister at a different store that I worked at Arundel Mills. I met Chris McAllister, and that's all from the 2000s team. Those are only two players I've met, and then I met Terrell Suggs at another point in time.
All right. Well, very cool. Excellent choice. Really appreciate talking about Kim Herring with you. Why don't we tell folks where they can talk football with you online?
So the best place to talk football with me online is probably on Instagram, but I don't remember that handle right now. If you want to talk to me, just face_off@me.com is the best way to reach me. Okay. I have so many different handles. So
and you don't really check your Twitter at all where your face off battles?
I almost never check Twitter. So I only use my Twitter to so it does update on my phone. So I'll see when people say things, but there are so many phony accounts on X. And I finally figured out how to block a lot of them because I'll get false news and think, oh, we just got this new player. No, we didn't. So I'm like, yeah, I don't really like X anymore because you have to literally pay them to not get bombarded with fake accounts. And I'm like, I'm not going to give you money. So you just give me worthy news. I'll just go to a different source.
Not getting fake accounts is one thing. Getting worthy news, that's a higher bar still. That's a really difficult one. So, all right. Well, Kiske, I appreciate having you on. And I hope folks will, in giving a listen to this, we'll look for him again on these episodes because I'm sure he'll be back. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm looking right now for a concerns series. So that'll be on end of July, right before camp. We're going to be talking about what are the concerns for the 2024 Ravens entering camp. It won't be much more than this that I'll talk about it maybe a couple more times, but I am looking for those. Just DM me if you have a particular concern. I'll get right back to you in terms of how we can set that up and schedule it. Kiske, thanks again for coming on.
Likewise. Well, I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.